ladies for that. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3 in your Bible tonight. Proverbs chapter 3, with the fellows gone, I'll do the reading tonight with you. Proverbs chapter 3, familiar verses. Many in the room could probably quote them by memory. We'll read verses 5 and 6 here, just give you a second to find that passage. Proverbs chapter 3. We'll stand and we'll read here in a moment, and then I'll pray and ask the Lord to bless the message. And ladies, you'll be ready to sing a couple songs, okay, as soon as we're done praying. We'll enjoy hearing from you one more time. Let's stand together in honor of God's Word, and would you please join me on verse number 6. I'll read 5 and then 6 with you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Father, thank you for the good music tonight that we've enjoyed, singing the congregational songs, the choir, hearing the young ladies. Lord, what a blessing. And God, I pray now that you'll please be with the last couple of songs. May they prepare our heart for your word, the message that you've laid on our heart for this evening. And help me, I pray, as we deliver the message in power, please, it'll be a blessing. We'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you, BC.
His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried for my burden. The nails that held him set me free. His life for mine, his life for mine.
The main reason I chose to go, though, was because of the preaching. We have so many great preachers that come through there. Brother Angel, obviously Pastor Gomez, and all the other staff guys, Brother Robito, Brother Hall, Brother Hallberg, and the list goes on. But it doesn't matter if you go to Bible college. You can learn anything you want to learn. You can take all the classes, and you can go on. But if you don't stay right with the preaching and you don't listen to God's word, then you won't use it to your fullest potential in a church someday. So I would suggest going to Providence just because of the preaching that you hear there.
Mm-hmm. darkness, for the saint who's gone astray, for the sinner blind but searching, for the child in need of faith,
for the homeless and forsaken, for the hungry and the cold, for the prisoner and the captive, for the young and for the old.
There is a remedy for every sin sick soul. There is a cure for all the pain and hurt and wrong. There is a solution for all the problems deep inside. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ.
For the bitter, for the lonely, for the weary and afraid, for the burdened and frustrated, the discouraged and dismayed,
for the mocked and persecuted, for the battered, for the wronged, for the scarred and for the wounded, for the weak and for the strong.
There is a remedy for every sin sick soul. There is a cure for all the pain and hurt and wrong. There is a solution for all the problems deep inside. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ.
For every tribe and every nation, every color, every race, for every tongue and every language, for every time and every place, there's an answer to the question. There is love for all the hate. There's a healer for the dying. He's the light, the truth, the way. There is a remedy for every sin sick soul. There is a cure for all the pain and hurt and wrong. There is a solution for all the problems deep inside. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ.
Thank you very much. If you see a big smile on their face, they are done. They have been on the road since the 1st of June, sometime like that. And good to have Christy, Brother Jake's wife, and their son Andrew. And they got a kid in the nursery too, right? Boy, I'm sorry? Ellie, that's right. God bless you. So good to have him and Mrs. Robideau here tonight as well. But these ladies have traveled, and I know they are glad. They just sang their last tour group song, amen, for this summer. I want to draw your attention. Well, look, I'm going to just speak from this passage for a little bit on this subject tonight, the ways of my day. The ways of my day. And you'll understand the title as we get into this tonight, the ways of my day. Father, please bless the message. Help now your word to become very applicable in our lives on a daily basis. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And amen. Some years ago, several years ago now, I believe it was when Hannah graduated from high school, we took a trip out west. Knew things would change with a child going off to college and as far as being together at different times and so forth. So we went out west and we did just a sightseeing tour. Understand this, when your kids are small, they don't enjoy sightseeing, but they like activity, okay? But when they get a little older, they don't mind the sightseeing. And we had some at both ends of the spectrum then. But we decided to take it. We went, I won't even tell this, bad through the Badlands of South Dakota and Custer's National Battlefield there was outstanding to see. And the Devil's Tower in Wyoming and the Mount Rushmore. And there was a place out in St. Anthony, Idaho. A couple that lived there had a home. Their names were Larry and Rita, is that correct? Watt. And they would let pastors, missionaries, evangelists, they had a big home. And they had a full finished basement, 3 or 4 bedrooms and a couple of bathrooms. And they would let preachers or missionaries or evangelists stay there in their home in the basement for free. It was 1 hour to Yellowstone from their house, and it was 50 minutes to the Grand Teton National Park from their house. And so we got out there, and that's where we stayed. And I don't ever stay at a place like that without leaving them a good sum of money, because I don't want to take advantage of people's kindness. Amen. So I noticed when I got there, we were, of course, staying in the basement, but they said, come upstairs and make yourself at home during the day if you're here, which we weren't very often. But the bay window of their living room, as you look out the bay window in the distance, you could see the Grand Teton Mountains. I mean, from the bay window of the house there, you could see the Grand Tetons. And it literally, it stopped me in my tracks. I would just stare out the window. Now, Larry and Rita, they would just pass by every day, pass by, you know, and they would never stop and look. And I could not get close to the window without staring out there at the Grand Tetons. And you can understand why. They lived there, had lived there, born and reared there, and lived there for all those years. They saw it all the time, so it became old hat. It became familiar to them, but it was not familiar to me. And I couldn't help but stare at it for a while every time I would go by the living room or go in the living room, look out the bay window. Now, there are Grand Teton passages in the Bible. And sometimes we take the same approach as Larry and Rita did to the Grand Teton Mountains. They are so familiar for us, so familiar to us, that we don't stop and stare. We kind of flow right by them because, yeah, we know those verses and we repeated them in grade school. We learned them and said them in high school. And a lot of times we don't glean from the verses, the scriptures, exactly everything that we should. A lot of people in this room can quote these verses by heart tonight. They're great verses. They're some of the Grand Tetons of the Bible, if you will. All right? And in times of decision or despair, I promise you, many in this room have thought of verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And I didn't plan it this way, but it just seems like through the songs that we've been singing and what we've been talking about, that this matter of trust, trust, trust in the Lord, just as a reoccurring theme right now. Trust in the Lord. And my, how that verse has helped us and kept us from unwise decisions. Trust in the Lord. It is verse 6 that I want to emphasize tonight. Look at it where he said this. Solomon said, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Now, the word acknowledge means to notice or recognize with particular regard. To notice or recognize with particular regard. So, in all our ways, we are to notice or recognize with particular regard God. That's what he said. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he's talking about God there. And if we will do that, the promise is that he will direct our paths. He will guard us. He will lead us. He will guide us. He will help us if I will acknowledge him in all my ways. Now, I would imagine that most of us, or many of us, are pretty good at noticing or recognizing God when the big or emergency type things come into our lives. The unexpected, the bad news, the tough decisions. These are the type things that we are good at going right to God about for help and for strength. And there's nothing wrong with that. I love the story of Nehemiah in the Bible. And Nehemiah is the king's cupbearer. And he's working there in the palace. And, of course, in chapter 1, his brother comes and tells him about the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. The gates are burned down and the walls destroyed. The people are just at the enemy's mercy. And his heart breaks and his countenance is sad. And chapter 2, he goes to stand before the king. And for the first time ever in his service for the king, his countenance is fallen. His countenance is sad. And the king notices it. And he says to Nehemiah, hey, man, what's up? I'm paraphrasing, of course. What's up? I've never seen you like this before. You never have had a fallen countenance. And Nehemiah said, man alive, why wouldn't my countenance be fallen? The gates and the wall and the gates of the city where my people live are in disrepair and broken down. And they are just at the enemy's mercy. And the king said, well, what would you like? What would you like? And you know what the next phrase is in the Bible? The next phrase is this. The king says, what would you like, Nehemiah? And the next phrase is this. So I prayed to the God of heaven. In the middle of his workday, in the middle of going about the routine of his day, going through the ways of his day, Nehemiah stopped and the Bible says he prayed to the God of heaven. Aren't you thankful, friend, that we have immediate access to the God of heaven in a time when help is needed? And man, I'm glad that we can talk to him like that. And you know, folks, this matter, this business of Lord help me, it's a great prayer in a time of great need. This was silent prayer. This was a sincere prayer. I doubt very seriously if Nehemiah fell on his knees or laid prostrate on the ground and cried out, oh God, I doubt very seriously. I'm pretty confident that it was just a very silent, sincere prayer from his heart in the middle of his day. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I like that. I need that. I say I use that in time of temptation. I don't know if you men do or not. I use that in time of temptation. Lord, help me. And God's real good at answering that prayer. Lord, help me. And so we're good at going to God in prayer like that. There are some who use times to prompt them to pray, and then they recognize or notice God according to certain times of the day. I mentioned that this morning in Psalm 55, preaching about David there. In verse number 17, he said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray. So David said at 6 p.m., at 6 a.m., and at noon, three times a day, I will pray, I will acknowledge, I will notice, I will regard or recognize God in a particular way, a structured time of the day. It seems that Daniel used that same method to trigger his mind to pray to God. Remember when it came against him, you know, and he had three times a day when he would open his window and pray toward Jerusalem. And so he had those specific time of the day. I know that people will sometimes use a set time to pray, maybe with someone. Two people praying together at a specific time. They're not together. They're not side by side. One's at work, one's at home, or one's here, one's there. And says, look, at 12:30, at this particular time, let's pray. And at two separate places, because it's the proper time, they go to prayer. And that is wonderful, and that is good as well. So things come up, like they did with Nehemiah, and we can pray. And then we have structured times of praying, things that trigger us to pray. I mentioned this morning. I think of Jonah, who got into a mess running from God. And he made mistakes and he ended up in the belly of the whale. And you know, the end of chapter 1 has Jonah in the belly of that whale. And he's there 3 days and three nights. You know what chapter 2, verse number 1 says? Then Jonah prayed. Then Jonah. I mentioned that this morning. Now, you say it would have been a lot better if he'd have prayed before he headed to Joppa. Yes, it would have been a lot better. He might have avoided all this, but aren't you glad that you got a God in heaven who, when you take a wrong turn and you realize it, you can stop and pray, oh, God, help me, and he'll hear. Boy, I'm so glad God doesn't cross his arms, stop his ears, and say, you know what, you made a wrong turn. I'm not having anything to do with you. I'd be in a mess if God was like that. And so we have times like that. We have times where we get ourselves in a pickle and maybe we've been a little bit disobedient in some way, some fashion. And the Spirit of God pricks our heart and we stop and say, oh, God, help me. I'm in a mess and it's my fault. Please forgive me. And God is there to hear our prayer. Now, all of those scenarios are good. There's never a bad time to pray. But our verse here in Proverbs 3 and verse 6 says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. So here's a verse that tells us as you go through the ways now of your day. Most people have a way that they go through their day. I have a way that I go through my day. You have a way that you go through your day. Somewhat of a structure that you and I follow on a normal routine day. It's true about most of the men in this building. It's true about most of the ladies. True about the teenagers, especially during the school year. And even to some degree, the children. Now, when we are going through the way of our day, the ways of our day, the normal routine, what prompts me and what prompts you to pray? Now, when we're hit with immediate, you know, when we're hit with those big things like Nehemiah was, oh, we're prompted to pray. Lord, help me. When we have some structured time, we've got maybe a shared burden with a spouse about one of the children, or a shared burden with a brother or sister about a particular matter, and we have a structured and set time to pray, and it's bing, it's that time. Now, we pray. We're set. We're prompted to pray. Or if we make a mess of things and end up like Jonah did in the belly of the whale, then we're prompted to pray. But how about those normal days? How about the days when we're not hit with that sudden thing like Nehemiah was hit with, or we're not engaged in some structured time of prayer with a spouse or a brother or sister in Christ, or we haven't taken a wrong turn and ended up in the belly of the whale. You know, it's Tuesday, it's Thursday, it's Friday, and we're going through the routine, the normal structure of the ways of our day. What prompts us to acknowledge God? What prompts us to recognize, to notice God? Not like Nehemiah when we, are hit with something where we need immediate wisdom. Not like David and Daniel when they had that selected time. Not like Jonah when he took a wrong turn and ended up in the belly of the whale. But what prompts us to notice or recognize God with particular regard as we go through the ways of our day? Do you understand what I'm asking tonight? You got a routine. I've got a routine. I would venture to say, sadly, that a lot of God's people go through a day. Oh, maybe there's devotions in the morning, and we preached about that several Sundays this summer, about beginning your day with the outline of that model prayer there in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11. And I appreciate the feedback, as I've said. And this, what I'm preaching tonight is a result of something that happened as a result of those messages. And I want us to get God on our mind and get God conscious early in the morning. But when you do that, and then, folks, you start into your day, is there something along the way that prompts you to acknowledge God? I'm thankful for the time you spend, and I get to spend acknowledging God in the morning, the first few minutes of every day. But how about the rest of it? In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. What prompts me to pray? Because if I will acknowledge Him in all ways, in all the ways of my day, He will direct my paths. He will lead me all day long. As a result of all that, this summer, a brother, and I might add a young man in the church, came up and approached me a couple Sundays ago, or last Sunday, with, I think, what is a great, great, great idea that I hope I'm going to take and implement it, and I hope that you will take and implement it as well. This is a great idea, a great way to help us acknowledge God in all of our ways. This right here, you can't see it. You will be able to see it in just a little bit. It's a little square. Actually, it's a sticker, just like the oil change place puts on your windshield. You with me? Okay. Now, I know there's still some guys that still change their oil themselves. And, really and truly, I don't mind that. But given time and the cost and what some of these places run for an oil change, it really just makes it worthwhile just to have them. I remember changing oil when the cans were round and they didn't have a screw top. And you took a can opener and went chunk, chunk. And then somebody invented oil spouts. Remember the spouts? That was a ticket, brother, I'm telling you. It put a vent hole in there, and it allowed that oil to come out of that can. I'm talking about those round cans. Some of you have no round cans. Yeah, there was a day in this world when everything was not plastic. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But it just, for $16 over here at this place, or $21 here or there, the time it would take to go to Farm and Fleet and buy the oil and the filter and I would not remember to change the oil in my car religiously, which I've done. My dad said, son, You don't need to burn that 92% octane gasoline. And, you know, that's so expensive, that premium gasoline. He said, just change that oil every 3,000, 3,500 miles religiously. That'll be the best thing you can do for your engine. And that Suburban out there is 270,000 miles on it. God's been good to me. Just changing the oil on that thing. But I wouldn't remember to do that without a little prompt. Because I look up there in the corner of that windshield and I see, my goodness, it's 3,000 miles. It's time to get an oil change. And that sticker in that window prompts me to schedule an appointment or to go down and get the oil changed in my car. This is a little sticker. It's a tool. It's a little prayer prompter to stick different places. As I go throughout the ways of my day, that remind me to acknowledge God. These little stickers, my friend, you can put one on the bathroom mirror of your house. And when you go in the bathroom, most people look into the mirror of the bathroom, probably one of the first things you do in the morning. And you got a little sticker there on the bottom of the window of the mirror or somewhere that reminds you as you start your day to commit your day to Christ, to give your day to God. And right there, you are acknowledging God at the beginning of the day. You could put one on the on the little corner of your devotional Bible, or in the fly leaf, or maybe on the page that you use to do your Bible reading schedule. And you can stick one right there, and it would remind you to stop before you. Somebody asked me just recently, how do you get something out of the Bible when you read it? Because sometimes I just read it and don't get anything out of it. How do you get something out of it? Well, I tell you what I do. You get something out of your Bible the same way you get something out of your meal. Before you eat, you stop and pray, God, bless this food to my body. And what food is to your body, friend, that book is to your spirit and soul. And I always say, God, please bless the reading of your word to my heart today. And I want to tell you something. Your mind can wander when you read the scripture. I told this person, it helps to read out loud. I don't mean, yelling at the top of your voice. But I mean just reading in a small, low-volume voice out loud. A brother in the church, in his messages on prayer, he came to me and he said, you know, I appreciate the emphasis on the devotions and prayer, especially at the beginning of the day. And he said, I started using something. He has a smartphone and he has an app or something where they read the Bible. I was in a motel room with Brother Woodward at Brother Fox's funeral. And I was in the shower and came out and I heard this voice reading the Bible. And it was his smartphone. And they were reading the Bible as Brother Woodward was getting dressed to go to the funeral service for Brother Fox. And the brother in our church said, I have that app on my phone. And he said, I don't just let him read to me. I take the Bible and I open to the same passage he's at. And as he reads, I read along and I follow along. You see what happens, folks, is, you know, you start reading down through some verses. If you don't discipline your mind's off thinking about this or that. And a person asked me the other day, well, what do you do? I tell you what, I don't know what you do. You know what I do? If I catch my mind over there, my eyes here and my mind way over there, and I catch that, this is my rule I have to follow. I don't care how far I am to my daily Bible reading. If I catch my mind wandering, I stop and I apologize and say, God, I'm sorry, and I go back and start at the beginning. Because that book will speak to my heart. It will. And a little prayer prompter is just stuck somewhere on your Bible reading schedule before you read your Bible that just reminds you to stop and say, Lord, I'm about to read your word. Please make it powerful to me. Please help it to affect my heart today. You could put one of these on your refrigerator door. And every time you go to the refrigerator, see that little prayer 101, PR 101 is what that sticker says. And let that be a reminder on your refrigerator to be thankful for the food that you've got in your house. And pray for those maybe who need some help along the way of trying, who are struggling to put food on the table. I think this would be a great thing to put on everything that you use for entertainment. Be good to stick one on the bottom of your television screen somewhere if you watch television. Be good for you to put that on your iPod or your CD player. Be good to put one on the computer screen. On your desktop or your laptop. And let that little PR 101 be a reminder as you enjoy some form of entertainment to make sure that it's clean and Christ honoring. not dirty and filthy and get sullied all by the world and sin. Let that be a reminder as you have some kind of entertainment. You can put one on the dashboard of your car, and when you see it, your eyes come across it. It's a prompter to say, thank you, Lord. But maybe where are you going? You're going to work. You're going to see somebody. You're going to church. You're going to the grocery store. Thank you for a vehicle. Thank you for the place I'm going. Thank you for the privilege I have to have a car. You could put one on your desk, at your desk at work, fellas, or on your workstation, or somewhere at work, to be thankful for your job that you have and pray for your coworkers to be safe. I mean, there's dozens of places that you and I could put these little things. See, folks, the Bible says this, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Now stop and ask yourself, throughout the ways of your day, how often do you acknowledge God? We get so busy, we're so caught up, we're so just there that our minds are whirling. And we go hours in a day's time without ever acknowledging God. Never stopping to regard or notice or remember God. When He said, in all your ways, if you'll acknowledge Me, I will direct thy paths, I'll be with you, I'll guard you, I'll help you, protect you. And this is a little prompter, a little reminder to help us to pray throughout the day. We're going to give you tonight a brochure that will explain just kind of some of the things that I just said tonight, where you can put these stickers and how to use them and how to help them be a prompter to remind you to pray. We're going to give everybody a sticker in the room tonight, one sticker. I wish I could give everybody three or four, but these cost 97 cents each, believe that or not, 97 cents. And we're going to give everybody one, and then we have others that I hope that you'll buy three or four. I plan on buying a half a dozen. I thought of a half a dozen places in the last week that I could put these things throughout the ways of my day to prompt me to acknowledge God. How much better do you think our walk with God would be if we were prompted all day long by some reminder? Pray about that. 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 How much closer do you think our walk with the Lord would be? How much more faithful and consistent would it be? And you can get several of these. I would encourage you to spend $3 or $4 and pick up three or four of them. You say, why would I make an investment in a little sticker? Well, why wouldn't you? You say you're trying to make money. These things cost 97 cents. Okay, if you need the 3 pennies back, we'll give you the 3 pennies back, all right? 97 cents for that little sticker right there. And I would get some of those, and I would put them in places where I go through the ways of my day. Now, why would I do that? Because the more of my ways that I acknowledge God, the more I will have His direction and His guidance with me. The more I can be mindful of God throughout my day, the more I can walk in the Spirit, not fulfilling the desires of my flesh. You know, I appreciate it because, I'll be honest with you, it was encouraging to me to get the feedback from people who said, that helped me, I'm doing better in my prayer life, that helped me start the day with God, thank you. But folks, you know what? When the emphasis on the messages ceases to be about prayer, it'll leave us. And we'll be back in the same boat we were in before we started these messages. Unless we're some way that we can have as a constant reminder, a constant reminder, a constant reminder to go through the ways of our day by acknowledging God. Now look, most of us, of course, agree that the Civil War was a horrible and terrible event in our nation's history, nearly split this nation in two. But you know, and for all the troubles that the South had, and boy, you can argue with people all day long, and boy, those real staunch Southerners, and I'm one. You know, we'll always say that it was more about states' rights for the South than it was the slavery issue and all that. We'll argue about that all day long. But you have to admit this: there were some pretty good Christians in those two armies. And General Stonewall Jackson, Thomas Stonewall Jackson, was one of them. And Stonewall Jackson was such a good Christian that he was referenced by E.M. Bounds. If you've ever read any books on prayer, you probably have read a book by E.M. Bounds on the subject of prayer. And in his book, Purpose in Prayer, he mentioned Stonewall Jackson as being a man of prayer. That Southern general, Civil War general. Now, this is what Stonewall Jackson said in his own words. He said, I have so fixed the habit of prayer in my mind that I never raise a glass of water to my lips without asking God's blessing. I never seal a letter without putting a word of prayer under the seal. I never take a letter from the post without a brief sending of my thoughts heavenward. I never change my classes in the lecture room without a minute's petition for the cadets who go out and for those who come in. You know what that's called? That's called, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. That's what that's called. It's called regarding, noticing, remembering God in everything I do. Not just when I need immediate wisdom. Not when I have a structured time set with somebody. Let's pray together at 12:30. That's fine. That's good. Not when I take a wrong turn and end up in the belly of the whale like Jonah did and need to pray. And that's good too. But it's in the normal routine of our day. As a child of God, with a prompter here and there that helped me throughout the day, acknowledge Him in all my ways. If you were honest tonight, you probably have to admit that a lot of the day goes by without ever acknowledging Him. We act and we react and we decide and we make choices and we say things without ever acknowledging God. I'm going to tell you, folks, we're the loser because of it. I love the idea. It's a great help. I hope that you'll use it. We'll give you one tonight. I hope that you'll get yourself some more. And as Thomas Stonewall Jackson did, fix in your mind and fix in your habit going through your day, acknowledging God, seeking His face, walking in His presence, day in, day out. I can't think of any greater thing for a child of God to do. How are the ways of your day? Are the ways of your day spent acknowledging Him, or we just got it down to the place where we go through without ever giving a thought toward God? Thank you for listening. Let's bow our heads tonight and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege to preach about this matter of prayer this summer. And Lord, I'm glad that it's helped some people, but I'm thankful, Lord, for this little tool that we can use in our daily life to acknowledge you all day long. Lord, I pray that it won't be just something that we stick on the dashboard of the car or on the mirror and forget about. But I pray, God, that every time we see it, it'll be a reminder, a prompter for us to acknowledge you. Regard you. Notice you. Seek you in all of our ways. Lord, so that we can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Thank you, Lord, so much for hearing us. Thank you so much for giving us a model prayer, an outline to use. Lord, thank you for the access we have all day long to your throne, acknowledging you in everything that we do. May this be a real help to us as we seek to honor and please you in the days to come. I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The invitation tonight is just a matter of, did God speak to your heart about this matter of acknowledging God? Is it true that you go through most of your day without ever a thought of God after you have the devotion time? It's wonderful to start the day with God. Have that first thing in the morning prayer time, following the outline of that model prayer. But friend, then to leave Him behind doesn't make a lot of sense. Let's take God with us throughout the day, acknowledging Him in all the ways of our day. If you're not saved, now's the time to get saved. If you need to be baptized, obey Christ. But if you need to help you this matter of acknowledging God throughout the day, you let the Lord speak to your heart tonight. And I hope this tool will be a great help along the way. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies are playing. And we'll take a minute for invitation.